that good song. Thank you for all the good singing tonight. I'd like to direct your attention to John chapter 19. I'm elated that you're here tonight. A special thank you to all of our visitors for taking time to come and be with us and encourage us in this revival effort. Plenty enough here to have a knockdown, drag out fight tonight, and that's what you look for when you have a revival. Thank you, Dr. Buchanan, for being so good to me. I love being around you and your dear wife and family. And I just love coming here. I wish you people would adopt me. Just let me stay around here and put me on staff. And let me get fat and lazy like the rest of the staff around here. Just enjoy myself. And I just appreciate this place so much. I don't know if you realize what you have here, but it's a great blessing of God. John chapter 19, I have a very unusual subject, but I cannot get it off my heart tonight. Verse number 25, Jesus is dying for the sins of the world here. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. Isn't it amazing that out of all the thousands of people that he helped and healed and fed, when it come time that Jesus needed help, support, encouragement, the angels wasn't there, God wasn't there, the crowds wasn't there, but mama was. You ever thought about the fact that Jesus was a mama's boy? And I'm a mama's boy. And I'm very proud of that. If you don't like it, you little punk, I'll stomp your guts out in the parking lot. I'll change your attitude about a mama's boy. I wouldn't spit on a man that doesn't love, honor, and respect his mother. Stood by the cross, there was Jesus' mother and his mother's sister and Mary, the wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus, therefore, saw his mother and the disciple standing by who him loved, which we know is John, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold thy son." Then saith he to the disciple, "Behold thy mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. Now, I want to deal with an unusual subject, just a few simple points God gave me. But I want to preach on the subject of true family love. If Jesus is our example in all manner of faith and practice, I feel like that can not only mean in the spiritual realm, but also in the physical realm. And if there's one thing out of many we can glean from the ministry of our Lord, it was his respect for the family. God instituted the first home 4,000 years before he ever instituted the first church. Television, humanism, and paganism has flushed out the true meaning of the family unit to the point where we don't even know what a real family is anymore. 70% of this generation coming on, 70% will not be raised by their real mom and dad. Busted homes, here one weekend, there the next. And I'm not being critical if that's true in your relationship. I feel sorry for you. Make the best of where you're at. More grandparents are raising their grandkids in this generation than any other generation before. 7 out of 10 children do not know what a real traditional biblical family unit is. And the insecurity of many of them's father forsaking them in the physical realm affects them even after they get saved, because they trusted one father and they left them. And it's hard for them seemingly to fully put their trust in a heavenly father. Homes and relationships nowadays are just a fraction of what they were in yesteryears. I remember when dad was called dad, not old man. I remember when mama was called mama and not old lady. I remember when your siblings were brothers and sisters and not dudes and chicks. We're living in a freaky society. You understand that? I was at my brother's house some time ago, and this thing come in the door to get my niece. Had his hat spun around backwards. And can I say something? Bubba, listen to me. Your hat needs to point the direction you're going in. Any man going that way and his hat going that way, he's got problems. Seat of his britches dragging the ground like a family of midgets just moved out of them. Come galloping in, thumping and a bumping, jerking his head like a turkey having a seizure. And he looked at my brother and said, "Sup, man?" I said, "Wait a minute, bro." I said, "Hey, hey." I said, "What'd you just say? You little punk, what did you just say to my brother?" He said, "I said, sup, man." I said, "Look, I don't know what that is, but I think penicillin will kill it. If you get on an antibiotic for about 10 days, whatever happened to yes, sir, no, ma'am? Whatever happened to honor in our family and our relatives and those that have authority over us? Real family love can be witnessed within the pages of our Bible. What we call expressions of love and affection have now been presented as soft and outdated. For instance, when's the last time you've told your mama you loved her? When's the last time you loved on your daddy?" So I think we need to go through the life of Jesus and see what real family love's all about. Because the church you go to will never rise above the homes that represent that local assembly. The devil don't have to kill revival in the church. He's killed it in the home. And once it's killed in the home, it's automatically devastated in the house of God. So I want to give you four things about Jesus. This will not be a shouting message, but it'll help you if you'll listen to me. Here's four signs of somebody that really loves and appreciates their family unit. Number one, you'll obey those that have the authority over you. You'll obey those that have the authority over you. I think about Jesus in Luke chapter number 2. He's 12 years old. Verse number 51, his parents had went to this place and paid taxes or worshipped or whatever. They were going back to their hometown. 3 days' journey down the road, they found out Jesus wasn't even there. He's only 12 years old. And so they turned around and they went back to find Jesus. You know, I want to stop and ask you a question, young man. If your mom and dad took all rules and regulations away from you for 3 days, where would they find you? Where would they find you teenage girls in 3 days without any rules, regulations, or accountability? Guess where they found Jesus? In church! And they went up to him. Now you got to remember, Brother Bartlett, this is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's going to walk on water, make the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the lame to walk. He'll raise the dead. He'll take 2 fish and 5 hush puppies and he'll feed 5,000. I mean, it's unbelievable. This is God in the flesh. But Mary goes into the temple in front of the doctors and everybody and said, "Your father and I have been looking for you." Now, wait a minute. Let me inject something else here. Joseph wasn't his father. But when you marry somebody that has a child other than yours, you assume that responsibility. Can you all stay with me on that? Let me tell some of you punks something. If you're going to date and marry a woman that's got children, you have to absorb those children as well as that woman. Some of you freeloaders, you want to marry a woman and you want her to forsake her kids and throw them away and give them to somebody else. I got news for you, punk. It's a package deal. Woo, that's good preaching, brother kid. And here's Mary in front of the church telling Jesus, "Now you got to get with us. We're going back home. We've been looking all over for you." Don't you know Jesus could have pulled rank and said, "Who do you think you are? I made the body you're living in. I made the earth you're standing on. I made the air you're breathing. Look, I'm God, man. Who are you to tell me?" You know what the Bible said he did? And he submitted unto them. Because he loved his mama. He respected Joseph. And even though because of who he was and the power he had and the ability he had, he wanted to show us by example that you're not going anywhere with God until you learn to submit to the authority of those that have the rule over you. As a matter of fact, the next verse said he grew in stature and favor with God and with man. Read your Bible. Don't put your lips out at me. I'm telling you what the Bible said. You're not going anywhere till you learn to love and respect and honor them that have the rule over you. I'm sick and tired of our kids in our churches saying, "Oh, I love my mom and dad," but you're a rebel. And you scream and you yell at the house and you slam doors and you pitch your fit and you sling plates. I'm going to tell you something. I'd like to have you for a week, honey. You'd go to the door slamming business when I got done with you. Little punk kids telling their mama to shut up, telling their dad, "I don't have to do that. You touch me, I'll dial 911. I'll tell you something, you better be glad my daddy didn't get a hold of you. I was talking some time ago about how my daddy used to whip me and somebody said, "Why didn't you dial 911? I wasn't able to dial 911. And if I would have, he'd have whooped that crowd when they got there. Are you listening to me? You're to obey your parents when you're at home. You're to honor them after you leave home. That it may be well with thee is what the Bible said. And that word well with thee means that you may have a smooth road of life. You want conflicts? You want problems? You want a lot of chastisement? You want a lot of heartache in your life? Just raise hell while you're at the house. Just tell your mom and dad, no, shut up, I don't have to. I'll run away. Who do you think you are? You don't understand me. Let me tell you something, honey. We hadn't always been fat and gray-headed. We were young and retarded once, too. We know where you're at. We know what you're going through. And the older you get, the smarter mom and dad was. Amen, it's exactly right. Don't tell me how much you love your mom and dad if you don't obey them. There's not a bit of truth in it. You love them and you respect them and you honor them. It doesn't mean they're always right, but it always means they're in authority. As long as you're sleeping in their home, living under their roof, and eating off their table, it ought to be yes, sir, no, ma'am. My daddy never repeated himself to me twice, one time in my life. Never did my daddy repeat himself to me. Nor did he ever go behind me to see if it was done what he told me to do. I'm living proof that I never talked back to my daddy. I would not be. Brother Buchanan, you know what I'm talking about. Our daddies didn't put up with this nonsense. I was in a store not long ago. I heard a woman say, time out! Time out! I thought she was a coach. Time out! I said, lady, what do you mean time out? Well, when I say time out, he's got to be still till I count to 10. This kid's climbing all over the toy racks and everything else and kissing the dolls and ripping them out of the boxes and going nuts. And she said, your daddy didn't believe in time out. I said, no, ma'am. He believed in getting knocked out. And the only time my daddy counted to 10 was to give me the 10 to get up off the floor or he was going to start all over again. I've been whipped till the smoke alarm went off. Are you listening to me? But I tell you what, I love my daddy. I'm not mean at my daddy. I'm not bitter at my dad. I'm the man I am today because my daddy instilled some character in me and some responsibility and discipline. You say, I don't believe in whipping my children. You don't think I know that? That's their footprints on the ceiling. That's why they're going to run away when they're 12. That's why they'll be pregnant when they're 14. You've pampered them and babied them. You've given them everything they've ever wanted. You've never told them no. You've never brought restraints in their life. So when the Spirit of God tells them no, they're not used to hearing that, and they'll reject Him just like they rejected you. I'm telling you, authority, accountability, and responsibility is a good thing in a child's life. When I was taking psychology and I got my master's degree in it, one of our classes, the instructor, which is a full-blooming idiot, liberal humanist, said, ladies and gentlemen, don't you ever whip a child. Don't you ever whip a child. Because if you whip them, it warps their mind. Can't handle that. I'm waiting my turn, but Bubba, I got to say something on that. You mean if I whip a child, it warps their mind? That's exactly right. I said, did you know if you don't whip your children, they'll warp your mind? And if somebody's mind's going to be warped, it's going to be theirs, not mine. Say amen right there. I tell you, if you love the family and you love God and you're submissive to God, you'll do what the principal says. You won't try to bring contention between your parents and the principal. Well, tell you, buddy, when I got a whipping at school, I got another one when I got home, and Dad wouldn't even listen to my story. Wouldn't even let me tell the lie that I thought up all afternoon. It's a waste of time. Then after he beat me half to death, he'd say, now what are you going to tell me? I'd say, I forget it. Our principal's name was Mr. Ramsayer. His paddle was the bottom half of a boat oar. I hated that man. I hope he's in hell tonight. Man's mean as a snake. He'd give me 5 licks. And after the second one, I didn't even know when he hit me. Because I was so numb. For 3 days, you could have shot me with a shotgun. I'd have never known it. I went in his office one day. He said, Mr. Kidd, five swats isn't helping you. I said, oh, it helps me a lot. I get in trouble just because I like being around you, Mr. Ramsay. He said, I'm calling your house. I thought, go ahead, my dad works. Call the house, I don't care. He called the house. My brother stayed home that day. He answered the phone. Mr. Ramsay said, Mr. Kidd? He said, yes. He said, I've been giving your boy 5 licks and it's not working. What should I do? And that low-down, sorry, unconverted, hell-bound brother said, double it. Double it! Bro, Brother, I'd been over that chair and he hit me, sound like a shotgun went off. I was numb from my earlobes down to my ankles, but I knew better than to tell my daddy. I knew better! I got home that night, we were sitting around the dinner table. Dad said, what did you learn in school today? I said, 5 + 5 = 10. That's what I learned in school today. Quit taking up for your kids. The principal's always right. The police are right. Teach them some discipline in their life. You kids, when your parents call you, you ought to go the first time they call you. Some of you boys, get off the couch, got to put your little Nintendo down, pitch a fit and throw stuff because you got to take the garbage out. All I do is take the garbage out. Well, if you quit eating so much, fatso, you wouldn't fill the garbage can up so fast. You ought to shut up. You ought to be glad that there's food in the house. Where there's garbage, you can take out. I say, if you love your family, you'll obey them to have the authority over you. Amen. Amen. Good preaching. Number two, real family love, you understand that your parents aren't perfect. See, when you're little, you think dad can do anything and there's nobody like mom. But when you get in your teenage years, all of a sudden you start seeing shortcomings of your parents. And it's disappointing because you realize they're not perfect. And then if you're bitter and you're mean and your will's not been broken to the Spirit of God, you begin to categorize the failures of your mom and dad to justify the fact that you're going to rebel later on. And then when you throw your life away and somebody approaches you, you start using mom and dad as an excuse because they're not perfect. Now let me illustrate that Jesus had to put up with that. Did you know in Mark chapter 3 when Jesus was preaching, and this blows my mind, Brother Allen, Jesus' brothers came to his meeting. This is what they said to the congregation. You better watch Jesus. He's beside himself. That word beside himself means he's not mentally stable. Here's Jesus getting ready to preach to the congregation, and his own brothers are going through the crowd saying, you better watch Jesus. He's really not mentally stable. You talk about disheartening? You talk about something that'll break your heart, but watch this. Matthew chapter number 12, they did it again. But this time, they brought his mother. See, Mary wasn't perfect. And Mary had been influenced and surrounded by her other sons and her daughters, and all of a sudden, they talked their mama into coming with them in Matthew chapter 12. And they're standing outside. They won't even come in. And some of the disciples, I know you don't like this, but read your Bible, honey. Matthew 12, the disciples came in and said, Lord, your mother and your brother's outside. All the crowd's listening. Jesus don't want to degrade his mother. He said, who is my mother and brother? He said, all of these that you see, that's my mother and my brother. But to be honest with you, Mary shouldn't have been involved in that. But you'll never find Jesus saying one bad thing about his mama. Did you know there's 7 sayings on the cross, Dr. Buchanan? 7 sayings that Jesus gave on the cross. But the only one that ends in an exclamation mark is the one about taking care of his mama. Exclamation means the emotion from the very depths of my being. Jesus said, more than I thirst, more than it's finished, more than anything I'm going to say on the cross, you take care of my mama. But you see, mama wasn't perfect. You know what's wrong with you kids? You're looking for a mom and dad that never makes a mistake, never loses their temper, never gets mad, never does anything wrong. And I got news, honey. You're living in a dream world. But you better learn to be a little bit long-suffering, sweetheart, because you're not half as holy as you think you are either. There's not anybody in this building we couldn't stand up and butcher and find faults and failures in. But you know what real love does? True family love is you love them in spite of their shortcomings. You don't love them because they're perfect. You love them because of who they are. Your mama went through the jaws of death to bring you into this world. She may not be everything you want. She may not even be a person that you would want to pattern your life over. But she could have aborted you. She could have given you away. She could have killed you and put you in a dumpster. That's the main thing everybody's doing now, cutting people up and throwing them away like animals in dumpsters. No, they may not be all they should be or could be. But they're the only real mom and dad you'll ever have in your life. Here's what the Bible said, and I never knew this verse for a long time. Love covers a multitude of sin. And liberals use that verse to say, well, if you love people, it doesn't matter how they live, you just love them anyway. But here's what that word covereth means. The Old Testament word for atonement for sin. When God took that lamb and accepted that blood, the blood of that lamb didn't wash their sin away because it wasn't perfect, but it atoned. Means God postponed judgment on it because it wasn't perfect. That word love covers sins means when you see the shortcomings of your parents, you love them so much you postpone being judgmental because you realize you're not perfect either. When's the last time you told your dad you loved him, your mom? They're not divine or sinless. My father-in-law got Alzheimer's, dementia, and died the other day, and I preached his funeral. I've been in that family 35 years. We never had a cross word. Never one time. Never had a cross word with my mother-in-law, ever. 35 years of being married to her daughter. Just before he got dementia, I went to the little farmhouse where he lived, and he said, "Come here, Phil, I want to show you something." He took me in the kitchen and he had a little cork board. He said, "I didn't ever want you to think that I took you for granted." And pinned on that cork board was every letter I'd ever sent him, thanking him for raising this little girl for me. I would write him a letter and say, "Dear Mr. Kovacs, you did such a great job raising the love of my life. I could never be what I am without her in my life. I can't thank you enough." And that old man, I saved every one of my letters. The other day, my mother-in-law called me. And that's scary. And she said, "Phil, if I'm not mistaken, I just received the 100th letter in the mail that you've sent me thanking me for raising my daughter." I've sent my mother-in-law, "Do we agree on everything? Are you kidding me? I don't know of anything we agree on. That doesn't mean I can't love her." And I write her letter. She came to see my wife the other day. We were out of town, and I rented her a motel room. I sure didn't want her in mine. It's embarrassing when she lands on that broom with that pointed hat. I just put her in another room. But when she walked in that room, Dr. Buchanan, there was a hot pot of coffee. The internet was on and ready. And there was a card on her bed with money in it saying, "Thank you. Because I wouldn't be anywhere close to where I'm at in life had you not raised this beautiful little girl for me. And I will forever be in debt to you." Did you know, sir, every month of my life, not some, every month of my life, I send my mother-in-law a check and say, "I love you. Thank you. Can't thank you enough. Here's some money. Please stay in Texas." Have you ever told your mother-in-law thanks for raising your wife? "So I, but you don't understand. They don't have convictions and standards. They may not even be saved. They still raised her." Why don't you write them a letter? Boy, it's quiet in here tonight. Whoop, whoop, whoop. Sir, even if you don't like this, you need to act like you do. Or so help me God, I'll stay here for 30 days and preach on this every night. I write her a letter every month. "I love you. Thank you for raising my wife for me. Oh, I understand they're not perfect." Number three. True family love means you get concerned about your parents as they get old. Jesus is on the cross. He's marred like no man's ever been marred. He's turned inside out. Every joint's pulled out of socket. His eyes are dangling from his head. His blood is flowing. And he said, "I'm not dying till I know my mama's taken care of. John, you take care of my mama. And mama, John's going to take care of you." You know what bothers me about that? Jesus had brothers. Why wasn't they going to take care of mama? Because in just about every family, no matter how many kids there are, there's usually just one that steps up to the plate. You know what I don't understand? Dr. Buchanan, how many children was in your family? How many? Right, with your mom. There was three of you all? You know, up in the mountains and in these little country churches I go to now, these little white-haired ladies will come in, and these little little old light cotton dresses. Their shoes are wore out. They'd never spend the money to go to a beauty shop. They don't even know what getting your fingernails and toenails are. They don't know what all that is. And that little 75-pound woman, she ain't that big, and now she's hunchback. She can't breathe good. She raised 9 kids by herself. And you know what one of the boys told me? He said, Mom could have her back to us. She could tell by the way the screen door slammed which one of us was coming in the house. Ain't that something? That a little 80-pound mama can raise 9 kids. But when she gets old, 9 kids can't take care of one 80-pound mama. And I've watched them rape their moms and dads of everything they've got and thrown in some little nursing home that stinks so bad you can't hardly stand to walk down the hallway and never even go back to see them again. There's something wrong with us. Real family love. As our parents get older, we accept the responsibility. You took care of us when we were young. We're going to take care of you when you're old. I was in a meeting some time ago and a man came forward during an invitation, and to be honest, what he said, I wouldn't let him say it out loud because I didn't believe it. He came forward one day during an invitation and he was probably late 40s, early 50s. He said, Brother Kidd, my daddy was good to me. He helped me get on my feet financially. We started a farm. Everything was going good in our home and our family. I had 3 boys of my own. And he said, I passed my daddy's house every day to work, passed it every evening coming in. Many times he'd be outside plowing a field, cutting grass. I wouldn't even wave at him. He said, next thing I knew, 7 years went by. Never checked on dad. His health deteriorated. He needed help. The grass would grow up. Things in the house would break. But I was so busy making money and dealing with my family and everything that I didn't have time for dad. 7 years went by, Brother Rusty. And one day I got a phone call that dad had died. He said, I got up and I went up to the side of that blue casket and looked inside of it and thought about, by God, what have I done? My own daddy died and didn't even know if I cared. He said, Brother Kidd, I went home after the funeral that day and I laid in bed. He said, God told me the most unusual thing that I've ever heard in my life. God told me, because I ignored my daddy for 7 years, that for the next 7 years I had to go to his grave every day and tell him I was sorry. I thought he was crazy. I'll just be honest with you. I'll be honest. It's a little far-fetched for me. He said, and the Spirit of God told me, you miss one day and I'll kill you. And by the way, at the end of 7 years, you're going to die too. He stood up in my meeting last year and said, for Brother Kidd, you're the only man that ever knew this. But for 7 years, I've been going that by my daddy's grave every day, standing at the foot and saying, Daddy, I'm sorry. If I had it to do over again, I'd have been there when you needed me. You could have depended on me. I'm so sorry. He got up a couple of months ago and told his wife, said, honey, I'm getting dressed. I'm going down to the cemetery. He said, today marks 7 years. He said, give me some dress clothes because when I leave the cemetery, I'm going to the hospital. I'll die today. She said, honey, I've put up with you saying this. And this is all in your mind. God didn't tell you this. You got to be crazy. This ain't going to happen. He said, just do what I said. He got up, he went to his daddy's grave that morning. He said, Dad, this is the last day I'll have to come, but I want to tell you again, I'm sorry. I wasn't the son I should have been. And if I had to do over, I'd have been there for you. He got in his car and he drove to the hospital, walked the emergency room, said, I'll be dead today. I just need a bed to lay down in and get comfortable. And before midnight came that night, his pancreas and liver both quit working. He turned as yellow as a banana. Before the midnight clock struck, he died. Oh, what a sad way to treat your mom and dad. I've had funeral directors call me and say, preacher, get down here. This thing's in a mess. And I go down there and women are tumbling out in the hallway like a bunch of fat hogs, pulling hair and biting on each other like a bunch of wild animals, fighting over a threadbare quilt, a warp skillet, and a piece of china that wouldn't bring $2 at a yard sale, fighting over all that nonsense. And then after the funeral's over, they can't even speak anymore. The rest of their lives, they can't even say hello to each other over something that's not even worth $10. I tell you, brother, real love means you'll want to make sure your mom and dad's taken care of as they get up in years. Number 4, and I'm done. true family love, when you're dying, you want your family to know where you're going. The last thing Jesus said, his mama standing by the casket, here's what he said. Father, into thy hands I command my spirit. You know what he was saying? Mama, I just want to tell you one more time. I know where I'm going when I die. I know where I'm headed when I leave this body and I leave this world. You say, oh, I love my family. Do you really love your family? If you loved your family, you would have a clear-cut testimony that there was a day in your life when you got born again and you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Do you know the mental hell your family lives in? Because they know if you died, they know you died without God. Had a mother call me some time ago. She said, Preacher, my teenage boy has been a straight-A student. He's got scholarships for football. He's got everything on the table. And said, now for 3 weeks, he will not take a bath. He will not eat. He's down to skin and bone. He can't take a shower. I sent him to school. The teachers have called and said, this is not the same boy. Something's wrong with this boy. Just out of nowhere, he snapped. She told me where he was. I went up and I drove in the backyard. And he was sitting on the deck with his head in his hands. Walked up to him, put my arm around him, sat down beside him. I said, okay, brother, where are we at? What's going on? You're a straight-A student. You hadn't picked up a pencil in 3 weeks. You won't take a bath. You won't eat supper. What's going on? You look like an old man. You got bags under your eyes. He said, I'll tell you what's wrong. My papa died 3 weeks ago. I said, I know. I come to his funeral. I said, I know, I didn't know him, but I knew your daddy and everything, so I come to the funeral and pay. He said, brother kid, my papa wasn't saved. And he said, I know mama don't understand, but he said, when we sit down at the supper table and dad prays and mama pours that tea over that ice, I get to thinking, my papa would love to have a glass of that tea. And he said, I can't eat. I can't. And he said, I get up and I go to bed. And he said, I lay across the bed. And he said, the last thing I can think about is my papa's burning in hell tonight. There's nothing I can do. And he said, I get up in the morning and I turn the shower on and that water begins to hit my body. And I say to myself, my papa would love to take a shower this morning. And he said, I go to school and I pick up a pencil. And the first thing that goes through my mind is, my papa's been screaming in hell all night. And he said, brother kid, if your papa was in hell, could you sleep at night and eat supper and go to school and it not bother you? My papa's in hell. And I got in my car and I laid my head on the steering wheel and I said, my God, every grandson ought to have assurance that when Mama and Papa dies, that they know they're ready to meet God. Some of you parents say, oh, I love my kids, but you've never really been saved. You've never lived for God. You've never got baptized. You've never joined a church. They've never seen a change in your life. If you really love your family, you'll leave this world with a clear-cut testimony that you know where you're going when you die. I want to close with this while the piano player's coming. If you're not mad, lady, if you are, you can be replaced. That's a non-union job. You know that, don't you? You know, this isn't going to happen. What I'm about to tell you is not going to happen. I wish it would. Big crowd here tonight, a lot of people. And tonight in front of every one of you, if the back door of this building were to open tonight, and my old gray-haired daddy would walk in this auditorium, I promise you one thing. Whether you understood it or not, I'd bail off this platform and run to that back door. Oh, what I would give to put my arms around my daddy one more time. Mama's been gone about a year now. But I still say mama every once in a while. I just like that word, mama. She's been in heaven for a little over a year now. Dad's party is over. She's found him by now, I'm sure. He enjoyed 20 years, but it's all over now. I wish my silver-haired mama would come in here tonight. I'd gladly stand her on this platform and introduce her as my mother. She's not here, and she never will be again. But some of you have your parents here. You've got a mom, a dad, a grandparent, or son or daughter, or brother or sister. I'd tell you what I'd do if I was you. I'd find my mama. And I'd say, Mom, it's been a while, and I don't even know why. I want to tell you that I love you. My son the other day come to hear me preach. He's 6'7", 292 pounds, and I had to reach up to hug him. And I kissed him, and I said, I'm going to tell you something, big boy. Don't you ever get too big to love me. He said, I promise, Daddy, I would never. If I was you tonight, when we stand for invitation, I'd find my preacher, find my mama, find my daddy, find who's raising me, find my grandparents, find that family that took me in. I'd find my bus captain that brought me to church and got me saved. I'd find my Sunday school teacher that prays for me every day. I'd find somebody here tonight that loved me. And I'd say, look, I want you to know, I sure do love you. Let's stand with our heads bowed. Maybe some families need to get each other by the hand. Maybe some of you teenagers need to go get your mom and dad and say, look, I want to hear you pray for me. I want to hear your voice call my name. I want to get right with God. I want to get right with you. I want my family to be right. I just want my kids to turn out right. I wanted to hear them pray. Maybe you're a single dad or a single mom and you're doing the best you can. Don't get discouraged. Don't give up. Listen, there's a God in heaven. He can meet your need. He can salvage your home. He can save your kids. I wonder why the piano's playing softly. Some of these bus kids here tonight, I promise they'd love to have their mom and dad in this building tonight. And I'm going to tell you, if you can't love your family, there's something bad wrong with you. There's something wrong with your love. There's something wrong with your heart. If you can't love on your mama, love on your daddy, go to people that's been a blessing to you and say, Mama, I love you. Some of you beautiful little girls are crying. I know why you're crying. You need to let God touch you like this once in a while. You need to go to him. You say, well, I'm embarrassed. Shame on you. If showing real love embarrasses you, there's something wrong with your thinking. While Brother Al sings right now, would you do what God's telling you to do? Right now while he's singing,
I've wandered far.
Maybe you need to get your parents by the hand and say, would you come pray with me? Maybe you need to go find a worker. There's people here that'll pray with you. Maybe you're not right with God. Maybe you're not saved. Maybe you're a parent and you're backslid. Come on. That's right, son. Pray with him. That's right. Come on. That's right. Come on, Mom. Come on, Dad. Get your family. Get on this altar. Ask God to help you to have a real biblical love in your home.
Coming home, Mama.
I just want to tell you that I love you.
Daddy,
I love you, Daddy. Son, daughter, I love you. Grandma, Grandpa, I love you. Preacher, I love you. Bus worker, Sunday school teacher, I just want to tell you you've been a blessing to me. I love you. Come on, honey, while the tears are running down your face, come and let God help you. Come on. That's right, son. Don't you ever get too big to love on your mama, boy. That's right.
I'm coming.
That's right.
Home.
Oh, yes. Real family love I'm talking about. Loving your family. Loving your mama. Loving your children. Loving your husband and your wife. Amen, Blaine. That's right, son. Let God break your heart, boy.
Coming.
Woo! Glory.
Coming.
I'm pretty